Welcome to When They Popped. Let's rewind to a simpler time together and dive deep into the music, movement, and mania behind our favorite Y2K celebrities and trends. Hosted by Kelsey and Mary, it's time for another episode of When They Popped.
Hello, and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Mary.
Mary, it is Monday morning. It's early. We're in our closets, in our bathrobes, drinking our coffee because you spent the weekend at 90s Con in Tampa, aka Boy Band Heaven, and you were rubbing shoulders with members from NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, TLC. I mean, there were so many cast members from all of our favorite shows and movies growing up, Boy Meets World, Full House. You had all the who's who of Y2K in one convention center in Tampa, Florida. And I'm really dying to hear, how was it? Tell us everything. This is Mary's brain dump from 90s Con.
Oh my God. You're going to get a sneak peek into the mess that is my brain. So buckle up, everybody. But like, moral of the story, if you can't get the tenor from, you know, my million stories that I posted, it was pretty incredible. If you're a boy band fan, if you're a, you know, Boy Meets World fan, whatever, it was a pretty incredible experience. I will say they did put on a really great event. I felt it was a lot better than the one we went to in Hartford, only because we had more of our favorites there. Like when Kelsey and I went to Hartford in March, we like didn't even get a photo with anybody. And like this time, you know, I was working to get photos. So it was just a totally different
experience. She was in the cash bar line.
Oh, I was. And let's talk about those lines. You see the professional photos, you see the selfies. Those are two very different kind of experiences. The cash bars, the selfie line. A lot of people prefer that line because you get a little bit more time with your fave celeb. Like, you know, you can bring them something. I met a friend in line and she had a picture of her Nick Carter from when Nick was maybe 15, 16. It was like an old printout photo. It was so cool. So she got to bring and show that to him. But like in the professional photograph line, you are in and out, maybe 10 seconds in and out. So you're literally paying for a professional photograph. That's it. The selfies, you get a little bit more interaction, which is fun. I hate how I look in selfies. So it's like kind of sucks, but it was really interesting.
It's the memes.
Yes, it's the memes.
Right. Like you're getting that interaction, like you said.
Exactly. So like, for example, I went in Howie's line and can I share the story?
Please do.
I went in Howie's line and Kelsey would have been here in Tampa with me this weekend, but it was her second wedding anniversary. So understandably, her and her husband had plans and that's why I went solo this weekend. But Howie and Kelsey and Mike have a very special relationship because parasocial relationship.
Yes. So it's parasocial because, well, you guys know my husband proposed to me at an after party at a Backstreet Boys show and Howie and Nick were there. So for our rehearsal dinner, my mom thought it would be really funny if she got a cameo from Howie to give like a toast at a rehearsal dinner. So Howie does not go on cameo often. And when he does, it's for a very limited amount of cameos. And it always goes to charity because he's a sweet baby angel. Oh. And so my mom was like scouring his cameo for like, we were engaged for a long time. So it took her like over a year to get this cameo. And she played it at our rehearsal dinner, literally like he was giving a toast.
So
and I
cute.
Love it. I show it to everyone. And I like to joke that, you know, Backstreet Boy gave a toast at our wedding.
I mean, he did. And Kelsey's playing it down when she says she got engaged at a Backstreet Boys after party. Like they were brought on stage with Nick and Howie. Nick and Howie sang like, Kelsey's way. Yes. It was not just like they were in the crowd and Mike went down to on one knee. Like, no, it was in the newspaper. It was a moment like that needs to be acknowledged. So I went to Howie's line and kind of word vomited this story to him. Was like, oh my God, my friend Kelsey, she can't be here, but we have a podcast and you helped her get engaged. And like, just, and he's just sitting there like, poor thing, like nodding like, okay. And I'm like, so can we make Kelsey and Mike a video to kind of you know, bring it this full circle. You know, he was with them when they got engaged. He was with them at their, you know, wedding rehearsal dinner. And now he's with them on their second anniversary. And you guys know, we call him Sweet Howie D for a reason. He was totally down. So Howie and I got to make a sweet little anniversary video for Kelsey, which I think, you tell me, Kels, was a nice little surprise.
I mean, Mary, I can't believe that you waited in that line to take a, I can't believe that you waited in that line to take a video like for me. And Mike was, we were driving when I got the video from you and I literally started sobbing.
Oh.
And Mike was like, do I need to pull over? I was like, no, everything's okay. Mary just sent us a video with Howie. And he was like, oh my God, I want to see it. We were like dying. It was so kind of you to do that. Oh. I mean, I literally was dying. Like, thank you. It was so thoughtful.
Of course. And to be fair, now let's pivot because a little bit. I've talked a lot to Kelsey about kind of the nature of this event, general admission versus VIP. We were fortunate enough to get a media pass. So by the grace of God, we were able to have media passes, which I thought would give us a lot of different access. And I guess like I did get to get into the venue like 30 minutes early to take like footage, but that's really the crux of it. So I was waiting in line with the, like I called this, I'm like, we're in the soup. The peasants are in the soup. And it was just this like line that would wrap around forever and you would maybe move like an inch every 20 minutes. Like it was just like, it was a lot. But something really cool about this event that was that I met so many new friends. Like going to something by yourself, it's kind of like intimidating, like da da da, like, but like everybody was so nice, everybody was so inclusive. And I want to shout out this girl I met, Michelle. She had a VIP pass and she's actually on the Nick Carter Street team with me, but we had never met in person. And as soon as she realized I had been waiting in Nick's line for at that point maybe 2.5 hours, she was like, Mary, take my VIP pass. I'll just like stand to the side and you get your pics done. Like, what are you doing? Come on. So she gave me her VIP pass. I was able to get up and get my pic with Nick. I was able to go and get in the VIP line and get Kelsey's video. That was the crux of the story. Like, I didn't have to wait and the soup is long for your engagement video. But it really goes to kind of the nature of this event, the people that are at this event. Generally, everybody was so nice. Everybody was looking to make friends, like include people who were by themselves. It was really
great.
It was really special.
It's like boy band camp. I mean, what is a more common thread than like your favorite childhood memories? So it makes sense. I'm so happy that you had such a great experience, Mary. And I really missed you. I was so bummed to not make it, but like, marital commitments and all that.
No, I understand. Completely understood. I kept trying to like bully her into it. And then finally was like, maybe we'll get to go to the Hartford one. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Hopefully the boys don't cancel this time. So I want to hear about the music that you saw. Mm. There were live performances by some of our faves. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, there was only one live performance. So if I can
talk. Performed on Friday.
Oh, but I didn't went on Saturday.
Oh, right.
But so, well, yes.
We saw it on Instagram and AJ looked amazing.
I had a work commitment on Friday. I could not go to Saturday morning, but it was actually Joey Fatone. It was a Joey Fatone event. And I think they called it Joey Fatone and Friends. I think he's been doing at like Disney and
Epcot,
stuff. Like when he had Lance come out, but this time he had AJ. The people I talked to that went said it was awesome. It was completely sold out. I think a lot of like NSYNC buzz riding into this weekend for sure. I just heard it. They did a mix of like, they covered each other's songs. They did other cover songs. If I could be in Tampa that day, I definitely would have been at that event. They definitely kicked the weekend off with a bang with that one. I obviously have a very strong bias, and Nick Carter's acoustic show was on Saturday night. And that was just incredible. It was a perfect preview for what's to come on his upcoming Who I Am tour. He did a couple of hit Backstreet, you know, he did Everybody. He did Larger Than Life. I Want It That Way. Like, As Long As You Love Me, what else could you want? And then he did some of his solo stuff. I got to see like my favorite song ever performed for the first time live in 20 years. So he did help me from his Now or Never. He did other songs for Now or Never. He performed his new song Superman live for the first time. His voice sounded really, really good. He had a great energy. You know that that's like where Nick shot. You could just tell that that was like his happy place. He came alive. Because one thing I noticed was throughout the weekend, the energy levels went down, which like I completely understand. But like Saturday morning, they all had like a sparkle in their eyes. You could tell they were like excited. And just and I'm sure they were still excited and giving it their all. But just as we were like getting fatigued, you could tell they were kind of like getting a little fatigued, like through the photo ops and stuff like that. But Nick just like totally came to life and was super interactive with the crowd. And like, if you're able to catch one of his tour dates this upcoming October, go to it, because he put on a great show. He did some really cool covers like Tom Petty, Free Falling, Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
And I loved the video that you posted, that which you posted on our Instagram at When They Popped Pod, when everyone in the audience said, "Put your fingers in the air." I was dying.
Oh my God. So like, apparently Nick didn't get the memo that that is now a part of that song. And if someone doesn't understand, basically, that is Howie has added that line to I Want It That Way, where it's like, "The one desire," how he goes, "Put your fingers in the air." And Nick like makes fun of him too now for doing that. And the crowd understood their assignment. I think Kara Lee started that cheer and Nick loved it. He was laughing. He really poked fun at Howie after that song. It was really cute. He's like, "Why does Howie do that?" But that is a irrevocable part of the song now. So hopefully Nick understands.
Like, that's when you know you're in the room with like a bunch of fellow BSB girls. Yes. Like everyone's all in on the same jokes. I feel like that's the real benefit of going to something like a 90s con, right? Like you're with your people. Oh, everyone knows the weird references that like a casual fan probably wouldn't understand.
Oh, like on Larger Than Life, Kelsey and I have talked about this part, not the intro of Larger Than Life, but when it's like, "Yeah, that's right." Like, you know, like in the, right before that, like the final chorus, like, I was planning on singing it because that's like part of the song. It's like a very nuanced part of the song. And like Nick sang it and the girl next to me sang it. Like, it's not like people just know the chorus, you know, like they know, like you're not the crazy fan girl in the room. Everybody is the crazy fan girl, but you're not crazy and you all get it. So it was really cool. Everybody left that, I think, with like a burst of energy. If you were a VIP for that concert, you got to go get a selfie with Nick after. And he remembered me. He recognized me. He referenced me by name. So I literally just floated home and went to bed after that. I was like, yes. But then the next day, everybody was dragging a little bit, I will say. But it was still bumping. The lines were long. And that's when we got the boy band panel. They called it like the music panel, because I was like, why are they calling it the boy band panel when TLC is literally a part of this? And let me tell you, I think I texted Kelsey, the line for this is something out of a horror movie. Oh, not that there's like lines in horror movies, but it wrapped and curved and turned. And the media pass didn't even give me special access to that. I'm like, if anything, I should be able to get in to a panel to cover the panel. Like, fine, for pictures, I get it. That's like me having fun. But like to cover a panel, like I have to go to the end of the line. I don't know. Maybe that's just me having too high of expectations. But I waited in line. I brought the hotel notepad. And I don't know why I do that when I have a cell phone, but took some incredible notes. Should we talk about it, Kels?
Yes, please. I want to hear everything. Also, TLC, holy shit.
I know. It was really cool to see them. Just as a general, there was obviously like, I mean, Joey was there, AJ was there. There was a lot of teasing between the groups going on, but like you could tell that there was a ton of mutual respect and just excitement to share the stage with similar legends.
And like the best week of all to be talking about boy bands. Because of all the they were at the VMAs last week. We obviously know that their new single is coming out at the end of this month. There's so much buzz around what is NSYNC gonna do. I've seen a ton of rumors that there's a stadium tour, but then that's been debunked because Justin's gonna go on tour. It'll be like a solo thing. So Mary, you said that you found out some tea about NSYNC specifically. So can we start there? Because that's what's burning on my mind.
Yes. So let's start with that. And that was actually the final question, of course. What's next for you guys, basically? And for NSYNC, Joey kind of, you know, again, debunked the rumors. The VMAs was such a cool experience, he said. And the boys just fell back right into their normal dynamic. It was like nothing had changed. And they're really excited to promote the single. But let me just say, he emphasized the word single. We are really excited for the single, making it very clear that at this point, we're getting a single.
A single.
For the Trolls movie. But he kind of gave a qualifier and he was like, you know, I don't know if we're going to do a tour. It's really not up to us. He's like, if you want us to record more music, if you want us to go on tour, we're open to that. And the fans got to keep putting on the pressure, keep the noise, like continue to be excited about NSYNC on social media. And the label and the management companies need to see that, because after Justin does his tour and his new music, you know, there is fair game for something like that. And so he left the door open, and the fans need to keep doing what they're doing and freaking like be excited about the single, you know, stream it, buy it, you know, support the hell out of them.
How much more excitement can we show? I mean, everyone is talking about NSYNC right now, and they've been posting all these social posts, just really breadcrumbing us that I really felt like there was something bigger beyond the single. Do you think that there's any hope, Mary, that there may be some other treats in store for us?
Hey, I don't have any, you know, tea outside of this panel, but I would say not at this time. But I would say that the door is wide open, depending where everybody is after. You know, Justin's number one. Justin's always going to be kind of the number one in that group. Take priority, whether we like it or not. Yeah, so I think the door is wide open. I hope I am wrong, and I hope we can keep the excitement going and get that. Because, like, one thing they talked about was, you know, this quote unquote rivalry that was between BSB and NSYNC back in the day. And AJ and Joey both said, like, obviously the media blew it out of proportion. And there was a healthy, friendly competition between the groups. But they really mentioned how they noticed how over the years the fans have really removed that, because the fans were at the thick of this rivalry. We saw it in the press and we're like, okay, one or the other, and I'm in a fight to death over it. And now we just appreciate the music. If you like boy bands, you like boy bands. You know, this wedge and this grudge has really dissolved. And that is something that both of the guys noticed and appreciated. So I will support the hell out of NSYNC. I love a good boy band bop.
I'm going to go hide my Team BSB hat that I wore all week.
We still can have a favorite. We still can have a favorite, but we still can like NSYNC too, you know?
No, I'm so excited about this reunion. I've been rewatching all of their old performances. For the VMAs, I had really high hopes that we'd get even just like a little dance number out of it. So I was really disappointed that we didn't get more, but I'm just so excited for them and the fandom, and I hope that we get more soon.
I know, and they did say Joey and AJ had so much fun at their show on Friday that they said they're interested in maybe doing a little thing together in Vegas, you know, like a short little...
Like a
Joey Fatone and friends, but like he would share it with AJ, obviously. And
a boy band review.
So something like that. And Joey, of course, was like, it'd be the bad boy and the stupid boy. Like AJ being the bad boy, Joey being the stupid boy. Howie's like, I'll come and eat and I'll manage these idiots. So, I mean, it was cute. They definitely are like very close. And then Backstreet Boys got the same question, obviously. What's next for the Backstreet Boys? They talked about Cancun, obviously. And, you know, Brian's recording his second Christian album. Nick's going on tour. AJ's finally releasing his album, allegedly. We've been waiting for a long time for that. But AJ did said they actually have meetings this week about what's coming up in the next year. And I will direct quote that he said, I can promise you there's something big coming and it's never been done ever before.
What?
I know. And he also said, which seemed like this was separate, he said, we'll also get back in the studio as well, obviously. So I will say I talked a little with a lot of my Backstreet Boys girlies, and we all agreed that AJ does like to stir the pot.
And maybe like he promises a lot.
There's definitely something going on. Who knows what? Who knows how big and how never been done before?
Oh, I'm so jealous I wasn't there.
It was good. And then TLC is actually working on a Broadway play. AJ's like, I know. AJ's like, can I please audition? Which was so cute. And apparently a lot of the people who have worked on Hamilton are also working with TLC for this play. And they're also going to be on a TV show that they couldn't really say much about. But so they have like a ton going on as well. Okay, so they talked about TRL because TRL just celebrated their 25th anniversary, I believe. And asked for like any special moments that the performers had from TRL. And my favorite story was AJ's at the Millennium launch. Obviously, the Millennium is one of the biggest TRL days ever. Everything was shut down. AJ's wearing that cheetah cowboy hat. you know the one I'm talking about. And after they did their whole thing at TRL for Millennium, apparently it was the premiere of Star Wars Episode One that same day. And so they went to the movies after they finished TRL. And they went to the theater and there was like four seats open next to them, like when they sat down. So like, ooh, like maybe we'll have some space for this. And you will never believe who showed up and watched the movie and sat in those seats next to them. George Lucas and his family.
That's an insane story because aren't they all such huge Star Wars fans?
Yes, he was. I mean, that's like literally his favorite moment from TRL. Like he couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. I didn't think I had seen that story before. So I thought that was really cool. And then it was so funny when they got to Howie. They were like, what's your favorite TRL moment? And he's like, I literally can't remember 2 weeks ago. Like what? Like, I don't know. Like it was so cute. Like just very self-deprecating, very funny. They talked about the conventions. And AJ did a huge spiel, as did Joey, about how cool it was to kind of meet the fans and, you know, we're their family and they don't get like a DNA. The meet and greets are so fast, but here you get that moment to like spend time with the fans. And then Howie was like, well, I liked being able to like meet and fanboy over like some of the celebrities I loved growing up. Like it's just as cool for us as it is for you guys to kind of like see the people that we loved on TV. So it sounds like he had like a fanboy moment for someone, some people there. And
was Howie waiting in the cash bar line for anyone?
I mean, Howie probably had VIP behind the curtain access. So I'm sure he was making the rounds. Oh yeah, like Mr. Feeny was there, like, and he was riding a little motorized scooter and it was so freaking cute.
Feeny!
It was adorable. And then they were poking fun at Howie. Joey was like, this felt like a high school reunion. And he was like, Howie, why haven't you like met anybody? Like, don't you know these people? Like, and again, Howie's like, I probably have again. I just don't remember like past the last 2 weeks. So whatever. And they talked about choreography. Howie's like, I can't dance anymore. I have to take Advil and Motrin like preemptively. And I was like, retweet. And then AJ told the story about how what's his wife's name? I'm blanking.
Leanne.
No.
Or AJ's wife?
Yeah.
Rochelle.
Yes. And he referred to her as my wife. He said,
Whoa, that's tea right there.
Yes. And they were talking about how, because they were talking about the choreography and the evolution of choreography. And he was like, when he first started dating Rochelle, she admitted she was more of an NSYNC fan because she liked their dancing better. But she qualified it and she said she did like Backstreet Boys singing better. And
okay, Rochelle, same page.
That's what I was like, so relatable. And apparently, her big crushes were Jonathan Knight and Lance. And apparently her and her like sister, yeah, same. And some of her and her friends like went to see Black and Blue, though, and like drove out and sat in the nosebleeds. And this was before she met AJ. And he said, like, did you ever imagine like when you were in the nosebleeds in Black and Blue that you would end up marrying like a Backstreet Boy? And she was like, no, but least of all you, because like it just wasn't, you know, she was a Lance girl. So it would track that she would be more of a Brian girl or a Nick girl or, you know, anything but AJ. So it was just a cute little story from behind the curtain.
That's just like really funny, because if you asked any Backstreet Boys fan, like, oh, did you imagine marrying a Backstreet Boy? Every single person would say yes. Like, that's why we went to concerts.
Exactly. So, maybe she just wasn't as DeLulu as us, you know?
A realistic fan.
Yes.
I see her comment on Lance. It seems like her and Lance are friends now. Like, I see her comment on his, like, Instagrams and stuff all the time. Oh, really? So that's kind of funny.
They probably are, which is amazing. Okay, one other cute story I wanted to say. They talked about some of their first big purchases they made that they had when they, after quote unquote making it, how he got his family AC, like that type of thing. It's, you know, cute. Oh. TLC, both, like, they retired their mothers, basically. But I liked Joey's story. He talked about how he got, like, his family cars. And I might be getting this story a little bit, the specifics a little bit wrong, but they were, like, at Benihana's. And you know how they, like, flip food at Benihana's? Like,
I love a Benihana.
Yes. So he had the, like, chefs there, like, put the keys on their little flipper things. And there were all the cars, like, waiting, at least for his sister. He got cars for everybody, but at least for his sister, she was, like, flipped the keys at Benihana's and was like, what is this? I know. I thought that was a really cute, creative story. And I just to wrap this up, AJ also, like, took time to mention, you know, he kind of just brought it up almost on his own out of the blue that he's, like, finally getting to know his dad for the first time in 40 years. And that he was there this weekend, and it's been a great, you know, experience for them. And, you know, he did do that post earlier that he was there with his dad. And Howie also chimed in, and he was like, they're, like, identical. Apparently they have very similar mannerisms. They're just very, very similar. And AJ just seemed to be really happy that they were having this opportunity to do this, which I thought was really, really sweet.
Wow. Did you get the impression that Howie met him?
Yes, absolutely. Because he was like, they're so similar. It's crazy.
That's really sweet that AJ, you know, brought Howie. I don't know. That's, like, such a intimate, very scary moment. You know, AJ's post about it was very raw. So I think that's, like, really sweet that Howie was there for him.
And I think we speculated on our Backstreet Boys series, like, because we couldn't really find much. Like, it didn't seem like him and his dad, like, were never speaking again, but we just didn't really know where they stood. And I think he did make an appearance at a DNA show or two, but it sounds like they're finally, like, getting to spend quality time and talk, which is, you know, the important stuff, getting below the surface a little bit. So love that. So that was Sunday. That was yesterday. So then finally, I didn't fly out of Tampa till Sunday night. I had, like, a 10 p.m. flight. And there was a Howie Eats event added. And I was like, okay, I got to try to go see my boy Howie D. And so I went with some of the new friends. I went with Nikki and Cindy. And we got there. It was at this little cute restaurant in Tampa called The Naked Farmer. There were about 50 people there. It was bigger than I expected, like, more people than I expected. Maybe a little less than 50, but definitely more than 25, somewhere in that range. And we each had, like, a little bowl that we pre-selected. The food was really good. The man of the hour showed up and gave a really nice, like, speech about why he started doing this, his love for food. This is his love language and his way to kind of give back to us, connect with us. And I had talked to my friend Cindy about this. She's been to other Howie Eats events, and she says they will go all freaking night. Like, last time she went, maybe in DC, she said that they were there until that restaurant, like, went to Howie's people and were like, we need to close the restaurant. So, like, he really puts in the time. This is after a long con weekend. He did not seem tired. Also, they talked about at the panel how good he looked. Like, he, like, it's just ridiculous that he's 50 years old and he looks the same.
Better, I would say.
Yeah, we've harped on that a ton. So, but unfortunately, like, right after Howie's speech, he went to do a cooking demonstration. And that's when I had to leave to go catch my flight. And I, you know, I was a little disappointed. I kind of snuck out. I didn't want to, like, I had all my luggage there. Like, I didn't want to be like, oh, like, I have to go. And so I kind of just, like, snuck out. And my friend Nikki saw, though, and knew. And so when she got to spend some time with Howie later, she went out of her way to actually get me a video from Howie. And, you know, and while it doesn't obviously supplement one-on-one time with sweet Howie D, it just, again, shows to how above and beyond he goes for his fans, especially. And it just meant a lot. And again, like, the friendships that you make at these conventions, like, she didn't have to do that. She could have got a video for her mom, you know, like, it just meant a lot and really cemented kind of how special this weekend was and how highly I would recommend going to a con if you're in one of these fandoms.
Mary, thank you so much for this amazingly detailed recap. It was so hard not to talk about everything while you were there, but I'm glad we saved it for the pod. Just a reminder, if you aren't following us at When They Popped Pod, please make sure you are. Mary has posted such fun content. So make sure you're giving us a follow there so you can see everything she's sharing. I'm really sad I wasn't there with you, but I feel like I was because you did such an amazing job retelling your tale of 90s con Tampa. So thank you, Mary.
Oh, feel free to DM me. I've had a lot of people DM me with like 90s cons questions, like prices, recommendations. So feel free to DM us. We're here. We're at your disposal. But yeah, I would love, you know, if the boys go in March, if Kelsey and I can go in March, if some of you can go in March, maybe we can do a little When They Popped meetup or something, you know, would love to meet some of you guys and continue to build our little family. And I will say I had every intention of going to the Boy Meets World panel, and I'm so sorry I don't have more content for you all on that. I was in the Knicks soup. I was in the line. I was drowning, and I could not get out because I would have lost the hours I had already spent. But I heard it was amazing, and I'll try to ask around for some more information.
Love it. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you guys, everyone, for listening. Make sure you're following us at When They Popped Pod, and we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.